from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Smothers the ball. Hammered up to right field. O'Hearn going back, and it's off the wall. Two-run score. They're waving in Tommy Pham. He'll score easily. A three-run triple. Gavin Sheets brings him in.
Westberg was the only guy who was really able to have good at-bats against Fetty.
Is now gone. Third home run here in this eighth inning for the Orioles. A solo shot for Westberg, his eighth of the year. And the O's bats exploding. It's now 5-3. The White Sox down to their final strike. Perez gets the strikeout and lets out a roar. White Sox were up 3-0 heading into the eighth, and three home runs by the Orioles made it a 5-3 game, and that's our final.
And the pitch on the way. Ground ball left side, base hit. Orioles take the lead. They score twice on a single by Ballinger. Ballinger waits. Cody hits a ground ball, base hit, right field. It's not over yet. Tauchman goes to third safely. Bellinger with a single. It's now 7-6, St. Louis. Everyone in the park standing here at Busch Stadium. And the 2-1. A swing at a grounder toward the middle, led by the second baseman, Gorman. Steps on the bag. Ball game is over. Four unassisted. Morrell's ground ball to Gorman. Routine play. St. Louis hangs on to win it by a score of 7-6.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Sing it. Ba-da-ba-ba. Good morning, everybody. Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. Sing with the low brass. Some bass trombones in there. Hope everyone is doing well. Double losses yesterday for the Cubs and the White Sox in our unique two-team town. Both teams had a lead. Both bullpens faltered, but one seemed more painful than the other. And I guess that's because the Cubs are a decent team and the White Sox looked about to pull a surprising win, and they are not a decent team. But, you know, there's a lot to discuss about both of those games. That's a very painful Cubs loss, I know, for Cubs fans who are invested, and you're supposed to be invested. You're supposed to feel these feelings, supposed to give a crap on a glorious Saturday evening as you're watching Cubs-Cardinals. And the Cubs have a lead, and the Cardinals had won 8 of 10 coming in. They've now won 9 of 11. Cubs, meanwhile, have now lost 8 of 11. And it's a rough moment. The offense has been brutal, but better yesterday, and we'll talk about that. And you're supposed to care. It's supposed to hurt because you've chosen the roller coaster. So if you can, somewhere inside, embrace the fact that you care here in late May. It's not even Memorial Day. You've got a team that you hope will be a playoff squad by the end of the year. And I know it's frustrating. But this is a moment to embrace the fact that you even give a crap. For White Sox fans, if you give a crap, that's awesome. I want to hear from you. In fact, I want to hear from all of you at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number with which you reach us and the text number as well. It's the listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Look, I'm broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That's why I can sing along with the low brass. That's a little cheat code for you. If you ever wonder whether I'm broadcasting at home, I don't sing along with the This Week in Baseball theme because it sounds out of time. I had to learn that the hard way when listeners and musicians would reach out and say, Speaks, just so you know, you know, so I can't be that guy. But believe me, when I am here in studio, which I try to be every damn week, I'm going to sing along with every little part. Hell, next week I might bring a trumpet. Might bring my trumpet and play along.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Let's do it. Should get my buddy Max Crawford. Do you remember when Max Crawford was on the show? Max Crawford is one of my favorite humans alive. He runs the electronic scoreboards at Wrigley Field. He's also the horn section leader of the Total Pro Horns and a terrific trumpet player. Fun fact, he wrote and played all the horn parts on Wilco's album Summer Teeth. So Monday and Out of Sight, those badass songs.
That's so cool.
That's Max Crawford. He's played trumpet right here in these studios before. I should get Max in some Sunday morning, and we'll both play along with the Twib theme. I bet he's in. We are going to be talking to you all morning long about the Cubs and the Sox, and we've got two great guests coming up. Steve Stone in less than an hour on all things White Sox and more. Looking forward to talking to Stoney. And then I was blown away by the pictures of this event, and then now reading about it, I can't wait to talk to our friend Doug Glanville at 11 o'clock. Doug is a wonderful, wonderful human, obviously a very good baseball player and center fielder for the Cubs and the Phillies. And Doug yesterday was part of the planning committee and then part of the game itself for the Hall of Fame's East-West game and the East-West Classic, which took place in Cooperstown at Doubleday Field right there by the Hall of Fame. And it looked absolutely incredible. It's part of a weekend celebration of Black baseball history as the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum opened its new exhibit, The Souls of the Game, Voices of Black Baseball. And there were 14 Hall of Famers there. And there were also a ton of former players there, recent former players. And Doug was one of them, I mean, along with Dexter Fowler and Curtis Granderson, Tony Gwynn Jr., Jose Contreras, Prince Fielder going yard. Ryan Howard won the game with a walk-off home run. The Upton brothers were there. David Price was there. Monet Davis was there. And, man, it looked unbelievable. So I reached out to Doug and said, can we talk about this? I just want to hear about this. And he's in. So we'll talk to Doug at 11 o'clock, and I cannot wait. All right, let's get to the key moment of last night's Cubs loss. When the man with the second most runs batted in against the Cubs of any active player, behind only Andrew McCutchen, Matt Carpenter came in with a game 4-3 and Mark Leiter uncharacteristically in some trouble. It felt like you were in trouble when Matt Carpenter came in, right? And with a man on second, not a great runner, by the way, Alec Burleson, not a great runner. It is a line drive single, but kind of a soft line drive single. And it's sitting there on one hop for your big money right fielder. And this is the big leagues, man. This is a big league team with contending aspirations and a right field arm. I mean, I'm not looking for Jesse Barfield or Raul Mondesi or Andre Dawson or Larry Walker or Dave Parker or Vlad Guerrero, okay, or Jose Guillen. I'm not looking for the greatest right field arms of all time or Roberto Clemente, the all-timer himself, okay? But I need more than this from Seiya Suzuki.
Here comes the set for the 3-1.
Carpenter lines one into right field, a base hit. Rounding third, Burleson. He's going to try to score. The throw to the plate. The slide. The tag. Save at the plate. Runners end up at second and third. The ball game is tied 4-4.
So, look, that's a three-hopper from Seiya Suzuki. The first bounce was on the infield dirt. He came in and fielded that on one bounce in the glove hand as he's on the move, was able to rear back and fire with full momentum. Goodness. Look, I have been frustrated with Seiya's arm at different times in his Cubs career. Usually, it's offline. Usually, the throw is just a little bit offline, but it's enough to bother me. I couldn't help but notice in the spring when Alexander Canario was up at the same time, eventually they had Canario playing in right and Seiya playing in left. Remember that? That was an admission that Canario's arm plays better. And if they're both on the big league team and getting playing time at the same time, that's something Seiya should be ready for. And that's okay. And he's cool with that. He's fine with that. But anyway, his throws have been historically a little bit offline and have bothered me. That one, I don't know whether he was extra hyper-focused, trying to make sure it was online because it's a big moment, and it was online. But that's a three-hopper, man. Come on.
To your point, Speaks, the throw beat it. Even with that throw still beat it.
Three-hopper beat it, and It's possible that a perfectly executed tag from Miguel Amaya still gets the out because it's Alec Burleson. So, look, it's not like the tag was world class. Does Yan Gomes do better? Maybe. But that throw, man, God. And if Carpenter's hit results in a Burleson out at the plate, Cubs still lead, and I bet they win. I bet they win. But instead, they fall behind. And look, here's Craig Counsell talking about Mark Leiter. And I don't have too much issue with Mark Leiter, and we'll tell you why after Craig speaks.
You know, there wasn't a lot of hard contact. It just they hit some base hits tonight. The Carpenter, he fell behind, and just offline drive. The ground ball that gets through is, you know, there's going to be some ground balls that get through. They hit in the right spot. So, you know, he's been great, and he's been a big reason for a lot of wins, and it just didn't play tonight.
So that's Craig Counsell, and yeah, I mean, I think there were three RBI hits at 85 miles an hour or less in terms of exit velocity off Mark Leiter. And he has been absolutely great. So he said it all right there. Look, in terms of the offense, there were a couple of good rallies where the line kept moving. And some of that Cody Bellinger-esque swing adjustment, let's just get line drives, shall we? Let's get a single here or there. Let's keep things going. That stuff that seemed contagious on this team last year was on display a little bit there. And so I want to choose to be encouraged by that with the offense. Because through Thursday, when they got shut out on Thursday, that was the fifth shutout in the last 25 games, an OPS of 608 in those last 25 games going in tonight. Absolutely brutal. Going into last night, 3.1 runs per game. Those numbers courtesy of Jordan Bastion over at MLB.com. And so the offense has been brutal. Two good rallies. I thought they were going to get it done, in fact, there. I was feeling it. I did post-game last night on Fox TV after the ball game, and I was watching that in the newsroom thinking, I think they're going to win this thing. And Jameson Taillon, who pitched pretty well, thought they also were going to win that game.
Yeah, I thought there were some good at-bats up and down. And, you know, just going against one of the best back-end bullpens in the game in that situation to keep fighting. And, I really thought we were going to pull that out. I mean, that was pretty incredible. It's one of those things where, you know, lost, but hopefully that's something like we can take forward and build off of.
Yeah, that's the goal. And if that is the case and they can take that forward and build off of it, that would be lovely for the offense. There's a tough moment offensively in that game last night. After in my opinion anyway, after Patrick Wisdom doubles to put the Cubs up 4-3 and it's men on second and third with only one away. Here's Miguel Amaya at the plate with a chance to add on. Second and third, one out. He's immediately down 0-2 in that at-bat and strikes out. Dominated by Kittredge there. I'd rather see Yan Gomes there. I'd rather see Yan Gomes trying to make that tag in the eighth inning as well. And then with two out and men on second and third, Talkman is allowed to hit. You go lefty-lefty there as they brought in the lefty reliever. First base open. I know Talkman's been very, very good, but I found myself thinking, all right, they don't want to bring in Happ. You don't want to pinch hit Happ. You don't want to pinch hit Gomes or pinch hit Madrigal. This team needs a righty bat of consequence coming off that bench. Maybe it's going to be Brennan Davis. Maybe it's Canario, whose OPS is way high after two homers the other day. But with Wisdom in that lineup last night, there's a moment where I'm like, all right, first base open, bring up a righty they might be afraid of. And not necessarily in terms of a bomb, so maybe it's not Brennan. if you had wanted to show me Madrigal there, I could see it, but
at least get the contact, right?
Get the contact in there and get a decent at bat. Thought maybe it'd be Happ, but then there was apparently a little bit of an illness with Happ, but he did come in and pinch hit in the ninth. So maybe Craig Council thought it was just too early there in the seventh. I was just watching it going, gotta pile on. This is where you must pile on. And they did not pile on and it came back to bite them. Tough, tough loss. With the offensive issues on display and some of the defensive issues on display, I keep going back to what Cliff Floyd described the Brewers as. Remember it? A button-up team. Said the Brewers were a button-up team because these Cubs are not a button-up team. Better with the middle infield there. Here's Cliff Floyd talking about that Brewers-Cubs series.
You cannot allow guys to just get in the scoring position. Now, you can give up hits, and hits are part of the game, but when you're not paying attention to details Albert wasn't doing, then it allows guys getting to score position to score with a lousy little hit, you know, that's going to fall in somewhere. So all these little things are going to beat you, especially against a button-up team like the Brewers are.
The button-up team. Cubs are not playing like a button-up team. A couple of stolen bases off Tyone last night without a throw. Couple of times. In fact, it was good to see the middle infield back intact. Dansby with a great tag on a double play, on a 3-6 double play. Dansby drew a walk before that Wisdom double. Nico, obviously, the big hit, the two-run double that almost left the park and tied that game up. So, you know, it's good to see them. This is a very key stretch for the Cubs in the midst of a 10-game run against the division. Now it'll be 9 with the rainout against the Cardinals on Friday night. But they got to play some button-up baseball. And Saya's throw is the issue I come out of that game feeling strongest about. 312-644-6767. Is the phone number. Lots to talk about with you. Phone lines are open for this hour for sure on Hit and Run. We will talk to Steve Stone at the top of the 10, Doug Glanville at the top of the 11. We will do our team of the moment in the 10 o'clock hour. And you'll hear a chunk of a really compelling baseball interview from during the course of the week, not with a ball player, but one of my favorite analysts these days, and probably one of your favorite Twitter follows. That'll be on the show as well. It is Hit and Run, just getting rolling. We're here till noon on 670.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Santan there. And he's now giving Baltimore a 1-1 lead. The second two-run home run here in this eighth inning. White Sox came into the eighth up 3-0. It's now a 4-3 Orioles lead.
Eric Fetty was real good. Again. Eric Fetty, my guy. I knew he was going to be pretty good. He's been great at home. Eric Fetty, 38 innings pitched at guaranteed rate. Every time I got to go Comiskey U.S. Cellular guaranteed rate. I don't know. It's just my mind, man. 4 earned runs in 38 innings pitched for a 0.95 ERA. 36 Ks for Fetty. Got in a little bit of trouble in the sixth. Jordan Leisure got out of it. Or after the sixth, I should say. And then in the eighth, Michael Kopech came in to try to get a 5-out save and gave up that one. Kopech's been really good this month, but not yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's baseball. I don't expect to be scoreless every single time. If I was, it'd be, you know, perfect career, which is unheard of. That being said, there'd be a more ideal time to give up a run than the ones I have. So it's a tough one. Sorry that Fetty didn't get the win there. He pitched a great game. But yeah, I got to wear that one for a little bit.
That's no fun for Michael Kopech. Eric Fetty, to his credit after the game, said he has felt great handing it off to those guys. Leisure, Kopech, Brebbia. And the Sox bullpen has been a bright spot. So Fetty saying the right things as a teammate, and Kopech wearing it as he must right there. Steve Stone at the top of the hour. We'll take your phone calls on all things Cubs and White Sox right now on The Score. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run with John in Logan Square. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
I know there's been a lot of feedback and criticism around Council and how he uses the bullpen or the batting order. And I feel like people need to give him more credit and that he knows what he's doing, but it's hard for us to trust him because we don't know him very well yet. And I keep going back to the fact that there's so many variables that happen throughout a game and a season. One, that he can only control so much. And two, he's working with the players that he has in the roster that he has, right? If he had better players to use, like for instance, if he had a better bullpen arm than Kyle Hendricks to use, then they would use it. They don't have anybody, and you can't call guys from the minors. They're not ready to play their prospects. That's why they're prospects. If they thought they were ready, they'd be on the roster. I think he's in a really, really tough position, and he can only work with what he's given. That was kind of my first take on it. Second is, I thought that guy was out at the plate yesterday, and I thought it was pretty clear that he was out, and I thought it was a bad call.
Really? I did not think it was a bad call. I think you could argue with the tag. And there are people who want to argue with the tag. And in fact, here's Bill in Hinsdale. Bill, you thought Amaya could have made that play even with the weak Saya throw, huh?
Weak Saya throw? What are you talking about? I mean, the guy clearly overextended his arm. I mean, a high school catcher is going to tag him out. Spiegs, I agree with you 100% of the time, but you're dead wrong with this take today around your show because, you know,
no, there was a weak throw, Bill. Bill, we can talk about the tag, but that's a three-hopper throw that bounces on the infield first.
It doesn't matter if it's a 10-hop throw. He should have been out. I don't know why you're saying it was a – how about a 200-hitting catcher who can't throw anyone out and also can't tag anyone out and also can't get a sack fly in a one-run game that would have been huge? You know, let's try and go out and find a catcher, Jed Hoyer, because – The young kid's not working. The old guy's not working. We need to do something with our catching.
Thanks, Bill, for the call. It's not binary. Feel free to blame both the throw, which was weak, and the tag, which was whiffed. Feel free to blame both. In terms of your ire at Miguel Amaya, it's a bummer, man, but I see it. Absolutely see it. Look, they all love throwing to Yan Gomes. And Yan Gomes can hit. I hope he hasn't fallen off the table, which it looks like at times this year, that he's hit a certain age. It's like, oh, no. But Yan Gomes has always been able to hit. And he's a real good defensive catcher. Sean, you pulled the stat from that John Boy thing this week because John Boy was like going all crazy looking at catchers and blocking balls in the dirt. What was it? It was breaking balls in the dirt blocked with two strikes, and Yan Gomes is perfect on the year?
Yeah, he's got like, I think a fourth of the balls he's been thrown to are in the dirt with two strikes with a runner on third.
Okay, runner on third. I mean, and look, we're talking to Stoney in 30 minutes. He always referenced his guy, Rick Dempsey. He always knew that Rick Dempsey was gonna get that ball in the dirt with two strikes. He got to be able to throw it. Gomes isn't going anywhere, and he shouldn't. In terms of another catcher to play instead of Amaya, my ears are open. My ears are open. Danny Jansen is a name that's been out there a little bit, one of the Toronto Blue Jays catchers. He and Alejandro Kirk. It'll be interesting to see whether the Blue Jays go into sell mode or not. Let me turn off that alarm on my phone. Sorry about that, everybody. What is this, freaking amateur hour? In terms of John and Logan Square's first thought about Craig Counsell, I really believe this is not a last gasp, but this is sort of one final firm stand with the veterans as they expected them to produce right here in this stretch. That means Happ, it means Bush. It means no PCA, and that's something I want to get to at some point this morning. It's giving this lineup a chance to reconnect and really start to produce. And maybe last night is a plus sign of that. But the traditional Memorial Day weekend, where are we and who are we as a team? Somewhere between that and 60 games as you self-assess and think about some big moves, perhaps with some of the kids in the minors and bring them up, or maybe use some of that farm system to go out and trade for some legit pieces if need be.
The pursuit of nastiness.
Yeah, well, it's you should be pursuing nastiness. Everybody should. So I really believe this is one strong stand that is left to go. And Counsell has some limitations, yeah, but I think some changes are going to be on people's mind and maybe on the Cubs' mind as well over the next couple weeks. This is Paul in Valpo and 670 The Score. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Matt. That's kind of right to my point. I mean, I just don't know what they're holding back from. What's the point of having all these good minor leaguers if you can't reach in there and grab a couple guys to, even if, you know, Brennan Davis isn't the ultimate answer, to just get some juice in the lineup and maybe wake some guys up. I mean, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That was a terrible throw by Suzuki. I mean, a major league right fielder can't three-hop that ball from where he was at in the outfield. So bad tag too, but, I mean, that's an awful throw for a guy that's making that much money. So you got to sit him and Happ. Try these guys out. Are they afraid to do it because they think it's going to hurt their trade value if they come up and struggle?
Well, I mean, look, Happ's got a lot of years and a lot of money left. There's a big investment there. So you're trying to make sure that his headspace stays in the good spot. They did sit him down for the two-game break. And maybe that means they're going to be more open to sitting him down from time to time. It was a pretty good at bat there in the ninth. Almost went yard as well.
I thought he got it.
I thought
honestly.
He got it too. I thought he got it too in a big, big moment. Thought both he and Seiya got Helsley, who's been incredible, but the stuff does not look like he should be incredible. It really just doesn't. By the way, it's funny to talk about hitters and what you think they should be able to do. I got to swing a bat yesterday.
Oh no,
dude.
How you feeling now?
I should just back off.
What part of your body's hurting that you didn't know existed?
No, everything's good that way. Everything's good that way. It's just that my right knee, I have the right knee of a man in his 50s, And it's not, I'm not an explosive athlete the way that I used to be when I was like 14. Just not.
That stuff.
So my Walt Riniak approach at the plate where all my weight is back and like I'm some combination of Carlton Fisk and Dwight Evans and George Brett. And I'm really just like attacking the ball and looking for that full explosive weight transfer at contact. Yeah, that's not happening. That's not happening. I mean, it was probably never happening, but it's really not happening right now. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. There's a bunch of people who want to get in, and here we come. This is Tim in South Bend on 670 The Score. Hello, Tim. What's happening?
Hi, Speaks. Hey, I called last week. Unfortunately, I had to follow Danny, who called in from 294.
Yeah, it's rough. That's rough. That was during the week on the afternoon show. But we know he's not listening this morning, so we know there's no chance
okay,
of that.
Okay, good. Two quick points. One about Council. I have the utmost respect for him. He's paid his dues as a player, paid his dues as a manager. I just get the feeling with all the analytics we have, he doesn't really have a gut feeling of this team yet. As he's trying to make all these manipulative moves. I think once he gets a little better feel for all the players that he has, we may see some progress. But as far as our team, if I'm an opposing manager, other than Bellinger and maybe Morrell when he's hot, I really don't fear anybody in this lineup.
You're supposed to fear Suzuki, and you're definitely supposed to fear Nico in terms of a good at bat and getting on base. But yeah, it's Bellinger, Suzuki, and Morrell. That's for sure. Those are the guys that that really have to carry you. That's 2, 3, 4 in your lineup. Those are dudes who are active in every fantasy league in America. Those are dudes who are absolutely supposed to produce. I have faith in Bellinger. I find myself with faith in Bellinger, and I have faith in Morrell too. Like, Morrell's still taking tough pitches in big moments yesterday. That dude showing some moxie to take pitches and, like, be patient and force guys to throw him strikes.
Kid's grown up.
He's growing up right in front of us.
My favorite part of the season so far.
I do believe the production will come. I absolutely do believe the production will come. You know who loves him, by the way? You know who loves Christopher Morrell? I didn't see this coming. But I enjoyed the hell out of the broadcast, at least, you know, for most of it last night on TV. Maybe I'm alone on Adam Wainwright because of the Cardinals vibes. Maybe there's a lot of Cubs fans there out there who hated him and felt he was biased, which he joked about early. But I thought some of his insights and the way he talked about stuff was really, really good. And he's so freshly out of the game. And I did not expect this on Morrell from Adam Wainwright.
Here is Morrell. You talked about energy with Craig Counsell when it came to Christopher Morrell.
This is a guy I think is a superstar waiting to happen. I don't know about the double eye black line thing. I'm not sure about it just yet. But I like the flair. I love his energy. And he was always tough on me, but not just because of that. I like the energy he runs with. I think he's got more power in there than we know of just yet. He's fast. He plays a good defense. I think Christopher Morrell is a future star.
He had said earlier that that's one of his favorite young players in the game when he just caught a glimpse of him there in the dugout. Yeah, I mean, I thought there was a ton of stuff from Wainwright that was valuable. Partisan cards, but he knows it. But dissecting Miles Michaelis and Tyone, talking about what Michaelis needs to do and what Tyone, he was talking about how Tyone, everything's kind of hard, that it's not, there's not enough speed variability, which messes with the timing of people. Talking openly about the difficulty of Wilson Contreras' ask last year. Shooting the breeze with Justin Steele. We'll hear some more on that along the way. I thought some really good stuff on that broadcast yesterday.
I loved what he had to say about wisdom, being a low ball hitter. That was really good.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of stuff in there that I thought was really, really compelling. 670 The Score is where you are. Let's take one more, then we'll take a break. Steve Stone at the top of the hour. This is Mark in South Bend on The Score. Hello, Mark. Good morning.
Hello. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you, Spiggs, to Ruben, your wife, and family.
Thank you, sir. You back at you, sir.
And those things about right field throwing arms, thanks for bringing that up. And two more I was going to add on to that is a Suzuki, Ichiro Suzuki, and a Dewey Dwight Evans.
That was the man. Sure. Yeah, Dwight Evans was my guy. And Ichiro, one of the best arms we've ever seen, that's for sure. And neither of those on display last night from Seiya Suzuki in the eighth.
Right, and a couple things about, I always get confused, too, about guaranteed rate, Okemiski, cellular. I think a good new nickname for us, Matt, would be Southside Smorgasbord, where the other teams clobber the ball late in the game.
The smorgasbord. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call. The smorgasbord is like, it's a buffet, right? It's like, it's somewhere between a charcuterie plate and old country buffet. It's like,
exactly.
It's a giant table full of stuff. There's a horn of plenty on there. There's way too much fruit, which is going to go bad. There's like an 80-pound pork shoulder, as discussed on The Score this week. It's just there, and people go up and just grab pieces of it and take away. That's the smorgasbord, right? I mean, I suppose that works on the South Side since there's excellent food products there. I've been thinking about it, and I have a take I need to unveil. The Cubs need somebody up here at the big league level. We'll talk about who it is, and we'll play some of the audio of why next on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Bat first pitch, and it's thrown behind PCA. They're about 5 feet behind him. 1-0 pitch. And now that sails over his head. You have to warn him. You have to warn him. That is, you got to warn him. You can't do that. Yeah, he's going to get tossed. Marty's defending his player, and he gets tossed. Yep, I'm sure a 10-year big leaguer just lost his control two pitches to Pete Crow Armstrong successively like that. Peralta kicks and delivers. Swing and a drive. Right field. Way back. Bye-bye. Bye-bye with the much-deserved backflip. Willie Peralta won the battle. Pete Crow Armstrong won the war. Pump the crowd up, Pete. Pump them up.
That is Willie Peralta, who was in the major leagues for a decade. That's a dude who knows what he's doing, has control, threw one behind Pete Crow Armstrong's head and one behind his legs. And after those two pitches, the manager of the Iowa Cubs, Marty Peavy, came out, argued, got thrown out, and then PCA stepped back in, Pete Crow Armstrong, and hit the next pitch very, very far. More on him in a second. But here's PCA talking about his manager, Marty Peavy, after the game.
Friday night, Principal Park, let's go back. There were ejections. There was a bat flip. There was a motion. To have a moment like that and to cap it off with a home run, like, how cool is that?
It's the right way to handle it. I don't think... Yeah, Marty had my back. And I think that was his homer. I don't know if I get another pitch to hit if he doesn't get tossed. So, it was nice to handle it the right way and be able to get a little run out of it too.
So PCA giving it up for Marty Peavy. Here's the deal: since he went back down, okay, since he went back down on the 21st of May, and this is not a guy who was tearing it up offensively at AAA the first time around. He was brought up because of injuries, even though the offense hadn't been there yet this year. And then we saw him figured out a little bit on the big league level. In fact, had that triple, went down a couple days later, and I was like, really? Really? I was disappointed to see PCA go down. Anyway, since he's gone down, 2-for-5, in the first game with a homer, 2-for-4 in the next game, 2-for-5 with a homer, 4-for-5 with a homer, and then 2-for-2 in the next game. All multi-hit games for Pete Crow Armstrong since he has gone down. Dude is tearing up AAA as of right now.
He's Babe effing Ruth.
No, that was Kyle Schwarber. Way back in the day, said to me, while holding a drink by a Cubs executive and then run with by the entire universe with good fun. And now we see Kyle in the major leagues for other teams, and it hurts just a little. I firmly believe that any good contending big league team needs some young, swaggy, arrogant, perhaps even dumb, ballsy killers. They all need them. You need dudes who come up and believe they are the king bleep of the freaking universe and play like it. And they bring that sense of invulnerability to your ball club. I could go back and trace champions of different vintages over many, many decades, and so could you if you stopped and think about it. This kid needs to be here. He needs to be here, and he needs to be playing. And maybe it's going to be at the expense of Ian Happ. Maybe it's going to be at the expense sometimes of Seiya Suzuki in the outfield. Play somebody in right and put PCA in center and let Seiya DH. Let Happ sit or let Happ DH. Let Talkman sit or Talkman DH. Let Morel DH. Okay? PCA needs to be up here and playing if this team is going to achieve what it needs to achieve. And if it's not right now and you're just going to wait a little bit longer and see if your contracted dudes, the guys being paid to produce, can produce, got like another week, maybe 9 days. But I firmly believe that that kid needs to be here. You need his swagger and arrogance on this ball club. Bring it. This is Ron on the South Side on 670 The Score on Hit and Run. What do you say, Ron?
Hey, Steve. Two things. I really, really enjoy your team of the week. I really enjoy
team
that.
Of the moment. Team of the moment in honor of the Asia song that I stole the idea from. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, really enjoy it. And boy, you knocked it out the park with Fetty. I mean, from the very, very, very beginning. I was looking at Crochet and Shua, but you was like, I like him. So, and no, that's going to be a big, but speak real quick. I keep hearing, well, the White Sox will, you know, be making some move, but other than Fetty, it's not much there that they're going to get back. See, they just be talking about bodies. I really mean this. I don't see a future that's looking good for the next 2 or 3 years. The outfield is a mess. Still don't have second baseman. Certainly you have some pitching prospects, but they're prospects. But as far as position, this was the first time this week that I thought that it is possible that they should trade Luis. I'm just tired of the injuries. If they could just really get a lot for Luis Robert, because I used to always base it on when did I think the White Sox would be good, that he still be in his prime. It'll be just like the situation with Trout in LA. That's just how I would see it. So,
man,
that's it.
I hear you, Ron. It's frustrating. I remember, like, people were bringing it up in the offseason, Bernsey and others bringing it up, like, hey, we got to trade Luis Robert. I'm like, no way, man, he's great. And by the time you're good again, he'll still be here and all of that. But, yeah, it feels awfully far away, doesn't it? It does feel very, very far away. You mentioned Eloy Jimenez. We've got some of this. I want to squeeze this in before we get to Steve Stone at the top of the hour so we have the full context. Eloy Jimenez, who is on the injured list, he's dealing with his 20th injury. 20th injury! Since 2019, staggering, and so many of them are hamstrings. Here's Eloy talking to the media about his injuries.
You've worked so hard. We see how much work you put into it. At some point, do you say, what more can I do? I mean, do you just believe bad luck has come your way?
Well, I always ask that question to myself, you know, because I think I've been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's just keep happening, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm just thanks God that he gave me the opportunity to be here and work my ass off every single day, you know.
So Eloy Jimenez talking about the injuries, and here's a little more, and if the Sox are offering solutions to him.
We have someone's question that we don't have the answers yet, but we're going to keep working, you know, because it sucks that happens, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to see it my... I'm just not going to sit here and just be sorry for myself. I'm just going to find the answer and keep working.
Eloy Jimenez struggling to find answers. I find myself fascinated by what Christian Watson of the Green Bay Packers is working on with the University of Wisconsin this week. And I keep thinking about Eloy Jimenez and so many of the White Sox players, obviously with the soft tissue injuries. But nobody seems to have a real answer or response to that. Find it very, very difficult to find answers on that front. Is it just some of the way the bodies are built, some of the way that the musculature happened to develop? Is it something deeper in terms of a work ethic issue for some specific individuals? Is it biological? There's some questions getting worked on here that hopefully will grant some wisdom. Because it is a rough, rough situation. In terms of trading Robert, or would you trade Garrett Crochet? Is everybody on the block? That's among the topics that we will touch on with Steve Stone in our next segment. It's Matt Spiegler with you. An hour or so from now, Doug Glanville on what seemed to be an incredible event in Cooperstown yesterday. And as Ron mentioned, the team of the moment coming up a little bit later on in the 10 o'clock hour. Just getting rolling. Two more hours of hit and run coming at you on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Next on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Bat first pitch, and it's thrown behind PCA. They're about 5 feet behind him. 1-0 pitch. And now that sails over his head. You have to warn him. You have to warn him. That is, you got to warn him. You can't do that. Yeah, he's going to get tossed. Marty's defending his player, and he gets tossed. Yep, I'm sure a 10-year big leaguer just lost his control 2 pitches to Pete Crow Armstrong successively like that. Peralta kicks and delivers. Swing and a drive. Right field. Way back. Ball bye. Ball bye with the much-deserved backflip. Willie Peralta won the battle. Pete Crow Armstrong won the war. Pump the crowd up, Pete. Pump them up.
That is Willie Peralta, who was in the major leagues for a decade. That's a dude who knows what he's doing, has control, threw one behind Pete Crow Armstrong's head and one behind his legs. And after those two pitches, the manager of the Iowa Cubs, Marty Peavy, came out, argued, got thrown out, and then PCA stepped back in, Pete Crow Armstrong, and hit the next pitch very, very far. More on him in a second. But here's PCA talking about his manager, Marty Peavy, after the game.
Friday night, Principal Park, let's go back. There were ejections. There was a bat flip. There was a motion. To have a moment like that and to cap it off with a home run, like, how cool is that?
It's the right way to handle it. I don't think... Yeah, Marty had my back, and I think that was his homer. I don't know if I get another pitch to hit if he doesn't get tossed. So, it was nice to handle it the right way and be able to get a little run out of it too.
So PCA giving it up for Marty Peavy. Here's the deal: since he went back down, on the 21st of May, and this is not a guy who was tearing it up offensively at AAA the first time around. He was brought up because of injuries, even though the offense hadn't been there yet this year. And then we saw him figured out a little bit on the big league level. In fact, had that triple, went down a couple days later. And I was like, really? Really? I was disappointed to see PCA go down. Anyway, since he's gone down, 2-for-5 in the first game with a homer, 2-for-4 in the next game, 2-for-5 with a homer, 4-for-5 with a homer, and then 2-for-2 in the next game. All multi-hit games for Pete Crow Armstrong since he has gone down. Dude is tearing up AAA as of right now.
He's Babe effing Ruth.
No. That was Kyle Schwarber. Way back in the day, said to me while holding a drink by a Cubs executive and then run with by the entire universe with good fun. And now we see Kyle in the major leagues for other teams, and it hurts just a little. I firmly believe that any good contending big league team needs some young, swaggy, arrogant, perhaps even dumb, ballsy killers. They all need them. You need dudes who come up and believe they are the king bleep of the freaking universe. And play like it. And they bring that sense of invulnerability to your ball club. I could go back and trace champions of different vintages over many, many decades. And so could you if you stopped and think about it. This kid needs to be here. He needs to be here and he needs to be playing. And maybe it's going to be at the expense of Ian Happ. Maybe it's going to be at the expense sometimes of Seiya Suzuki in the outfield. Play somebody in right and put PCA in center and let Seiya DH. Let Happ sit or let Happ DH. Let Talkman sit or Talkman DH. Let Morrell DH. Okay? PCA needs to be up here and playing if this team is going to achieve what it needs to achieve. And if it's not right now and you're just going to wait a little bit longer and see if your contracted dudes, the guys being paid to produce, can produce, got like another week, maybe 9 days. But I firmly believe that that kid needs to be here. You need his swagger and arrogance on this ball club. Bring it. This is Ron in the South Side on 670 The Score on Hit and Run. What do you say, Ron?
Hey, Speak. Two things. I really, really enjoy your team of the week. I really enjoy
team
that.
Of the moment. Team of the moment in honor of the Asia song that I stole the idea from. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, really enjoy it. And boy, you knocked it out the park with Fetty. I mean, from the very, very, very beginning. I was looking at Crochet and Schuem, but you was like, I like him. So, and no, that's going to be a big, but Speak real quick. I keep hearing, well, the White Sox will, you know, be making some move, but other than Fetty, it's not much there that they're going to get back. See, they just be talking about bodies. I really mean this. I don't see a future that's looking good for the next 2 or 3 years. The outfield is a mess. Still don't have second baseman. Certainly you have some pitching prospects, but they're prospects. But as far as position, and this, and speeds, this was the first time this week that I thought that it is possible that they should trade Luis. I'm just tired of the injuries. If they could just really get a lot for Luis Robert, because, and I used to always base it on, when did I think the White Sox would be good, that he'd still be in his prime. It'll be just like the situation with Trout in LA. That's just how I would see it. So,
man,
that's it.
I hear you, Ron. It's frustrating. I remember, like, people were bringing it up in the offseason, Bernsey and others bringing it up, like, hey, we got to trade Luis Robert. I'm like, no way, man. He's great. And by the time you're good again, he'll still be here and all of that. But, yeah, it feels awfully far away, doesn't it? It does feel very, very far away. You mentioned Eloy Jimenez. We've got some of this. I want to squeeze this in before we get to Steve Stone at the top of the hour so we have the full context. Eloy Jimenez, who is on the injured list, he's dealing with his 20th injury. 20th injury since 2019. Staggering. And so many of them are hamstrings. Here's Eloy talking to the media about his injuries.
You've worked so hard. We see how much work you put into it. At some point, do you say, what more can I do? I mean, do you just believe bad luck has come your way?
Well, I always ask that question to myself, you know, because I think I've been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's just keep happening, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm just thanks God that he gave me the opportunity to be here and work my ass off every single day, you know.
So Eloy Jimenez talking about the injuries, and here's a little more, and if the Sox are offering solutions to him.
We have some of those questions that we don't have the answers yet, but we're going to keep working, you know, because it sucks that happens, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to see it my... I'm just not going to sit here and just be sorry for myself. I'm just going to find the answer and keep working.
Eloy Jimenez struggling to find answers. I find myself fascinated by what Christian Watson of the Green Bay Packers is working on with the University of Wisconsin this week. And I keep thinking about Eloy Jimenez and so many of the White Sox players, obviously, with the soft tissue injuries. But nobody seems to have a real answer or response to that. Find it very, very difficult to find answers on that front. Is it just some of the way the bodies are built, some of the way that the musculature happened to develop? Is it something deeper in terms of a work ethic issue for some specific individuals? Is it biological? There's some questions getting worked on here that hopefully will grant some wisdom. Because it is a rough, rough situation. In terms of trading Robert, or would you trade Garrett Crochet? Is everybody on the block? That's among the topics that we will touch on with Steve Stone in our next segment. It's Matt Spiegler with you. An hour or so from now, Doug Glanville on what seemed to be an incredible event in Cooperstown yesterday. And as Ron mentioned, the team of the moment coming up a little bit later on in the 10 o'clock hour. Just getting rolling. Two more hours of hit and run coming at you on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.